Oh, those M&Ms and that pizza. I feel like I got a poo baby coming.
I really needed to know that. Thanks for the inside
It
info.
is inside, but hopefully it will be
Danny
outside soonish.
tells us about eating placentas, but poo freaks her out.
I mean, it's a hypothetical. The poop that Brian is talking about is legitimately forming inside of him right now. I do not have a placenta forming inside of my body.
We didn't know that. You could have.
Are you
I don't
telling
know.
me that I look pregnant? Wow. Wow, Justin.
You look like you could get pregnant. Is that nicer?
Oh, now you're telling me that I got birthing hips?
This is a weird start to this.
No, it's great. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Hello, and welcome to Can We Save the Cat, your weekly writer's room and entertainment podcast, where we take three random thoughts or ideas, pitch them, pick one, and then workshop it over the course of about 30 minutes or so. In the end, we will decide if we want to save the cat or scratch it. I am Brian Hayes, writer and actor.
I am Danny Hanks, writer and director.
I am Justin Eugene, writer and producer. And having trouble on the dating apps.
Ladies, you can find him at Justin Eugene. Slide into those DMs. If you are taller than 5'5", you have a better chance. If you're under 5'5", not a good idea. He is 6'4", ladies.
Is that a thing, like people are too short for people?
I mean,
you are an entire foot taller than me.
no, I'm not saying you.
My spouse, I think, is 5'4".
I've never thought of it that way.
Okay,
Because
but
I'm usually just
you're
taller
not
than
the one
everybody.
with the face full of belly button.
Okay. That seems like
like even with people who are like 5'7", I already got a face full of chest. I don't need more of that.
she's crying into her tea. On this week's episode, we're making all of our parents very uncomfortable.
I don't know what podcasts are.
Honestly, like, yeah, I'm at the point now, I'm pretty sure my parents don't listen. And if they do, then they are very good about not bringing stuff up because, like, we've talked about some weird things on here, and they're just like, yeah, not even bring. I'm probably close to the point where I'm just going to start saying random things throughout the episode to see if my parents reach out and be like, I can't believe that you were talking about that. So,
My parents do listen, except for they are probably not fazed at all.
well,
'Cause my dad calls me like every week and he's like, I listened to your episode about
is that what
the
he
thing. It
sounds
was
like?
really funny. No, that's not what he sounds
Can we
like at
have him
all.
on the podcast? Oh my God.
He would love to be on the
He would be a
podcast.
We would love to have Dave Hanks on the podcast because
he's Dave Hanks.
Don't say that. He'll come on the podcast.
Shout out to
Perfect.
Big Dave.
So you got a big Twitter following? Bigger than Danny's.
What we should do is try and find the most wholesome person in the world to come on
Oh
and
God.
give a pitch idea. Like, I'm thinking Big Dave Hanks, and then we workshop it just like we did for 2020, and then pitch it back to them
I
and see
was
what their thoughts are. I think that would be so
transsexual
funny.
drag queen. That's what we turn his character into. He would die internally.
He would probably just nod and be like, I guess it's marketable.
Good guy right there. Good guy.
Oh, that's why I love hashtag Big Dave Hanks.
Oh, God. Oh, every time I think of your dad right now, all I can think about is like podcasts. My dad wrote a porno.
Oh, no. Why would you?
Because I'm
What?
just like, what if we
It's,
get?
oh my God, do you not know this podcast?
No.
Oh, dear
Brian.
God.
Oh
It's
my God.
terrible.
You
But like
need to
terrible
listen
good.
to it.
He went from writing travel magazines to writing erotic novels. And then the kid found it and read it on a podcast, chapter by chapter.
His pen name is Rocky F Flintstone, and he has clearly never had sex with a woman before, even though he has like three kids.
This isn't real.
And no, it's so real, and you need to listen to
But
it.
anyways, Back to today's episode, Brian. How about you explain to the audience what's special about today's episode?
This is real.
Yes, I know.
Her vaginal lids flipped open. Like a fucking Tupperware box.
Brian, it's crazy because it's like three friends and one's reading it to the friends, and most of them are hearing it for the first time. So they just stop all the time because they're like laughing or asking questions like, what is your dad saying?
I hate
that you know about this,
this world. And that I now know
so
about this.
It's so good. It's so good.
I hate this.
How about we explain today's episode and then do some pitches?
I also hate that I am staring at my Word document that I have open, and it's at 69 words, and I can't stop looking at the 69.
I just spit out my tea. All I have to say to that is... nice.
You guys are going to love my pitch then.
Oh my God. I hate this so much. Okay. Today we're doing something really fun. So a few episodes ago, we did title pitches. You know, we came in with a title, no context. We're going to do things a little bit different with this. We are doing previously pitched titles. So basically this is our 35th episode. We have 34 episodes of titles before us. We have to take one of those and re-pitch it as something completely different. So you got to give us the title and you got to give us your pitch for it. So we are going to be starting with Big Justin Eugene.
All right. I will be pitching the title Stuck.
Okay.
Yeah, let that sink in, everybody. Okay. Let it sink in what the title is.
A little easy, but let's go.
Actually, it's been so long, I feel like the audience might not even remember what that was about.
Fair.
But ours will be about a guy stuck in an open relationship, and he does not know how to get out of it. He thought it would be a very cool idea, and once in it, realize how uncomfortable and how he did not enjoy it as much as he wanted, and he's trying to find a way out without hurting anyone or causing any problems.
I kid you not. I have four ideas here. My very bottom one is stuck. A couple stuck in a rut try an open relationship to test their romance. It's literally wow. The freaking reverse. That is so funny.
So we know Brian's on board. Brian, you're a respectable guy and you don't typically vote for yourself. So that means Danny has to outdo me.
I don't.
And I feel like I'm at least on your radar.
But I could with this one because I actually love this idea. So my repitch is The Good Town, in which a group of raunchy preteen boys discover that their parents are actually taken over and replaced by wholesome 1950s-esque robots. So they have to find their parents and get them out and figure out and stop this AI or alien, whatever, invasion from taking over and replacing them with like Leave It to Beaver-esque parents.
Love it.
Okay.
Pleasant. Okay.
Well, I am coming back with The Finternet, a hardcore political dramedy where Finland has created a superior internet system and has therefore taken over the world. So it starts like a right-wing political thriller. Think Red Dawn, but with Finland and soft economic power taking over. And they start instituting socialism and democracy all over the world. And red-blooded, small-town American male Joe Hudson has to steal back the internet because he's a guy from a small-town USA trying to own the Finns. But right when he gets there, he gets injured and ends up having to use their socialized medicine and housing to get back on his feet and realizes maybe Finland isn't so bad. Boom!
That is the stupidest.
The Finternet with two N's.
The lobster pitch may have been better than this.
That is the stupidest, best idea I think I've ever heard in my life. I'm in awe of this.
Should we vote now? I mean...
I'm, like, crying.
So you went in such a direction. I like.
She definitely took three left turns there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's like, do I want to do rom-com or do I want to do quirky TV show? That's the real question. For some reason, there's something about yours, Brian, that's reminding me of like, maybe it's like a Jimmy Neutron episode or something, but there was definitely something that like it scratches the itch of like, I think this has been done before.
It's not a TV show.
Oh, I saw it as a TV show too.
No, see, I saw it as like those movies like Good Boys.
Oh, gotcha.
And like a really raunchy preteen kids.
So like American Pie?
No, if you saw Good Boys, it was about like 12-year-olds.
Yeah, it's about 12-year-olds trying to kiss a girl, I think, is what the whole thing was. And like at one point they fly a drone over a girl who's sunbathing and just like Porky's.
Right, but I don't understand how that like combines with like the parents are turning into 50s robots.
Well, so it's these kids who are just like really
vulgar. It's like an
adult
comedy with like little kids.
Yeah, it's like these kids are vulgar and then they have to save the day and find their parents and rescue them to prevent them from getting taken over.
It's like a classic kids movie except for it's rated R.
Yeah, basically.
Like the comedy's not meant for the kids in the movie.
That's exactly what it's like, Justin. Thank you.
All right. God, I wish I could go last. I'll go with Brian's. I'll see where it goes. Might as well.
Well, good news, Brian, you won.
Justin, guess what?
You won.
I'm going to go with Danny's because I was reading. Okay. So I was reading this article on AV Club about this filmmaker. His name is Mickey Reese. And his base.
I choose Brian.
You don't want to do the Finternet again?
Okay.
Worst pitch of the season.
So real quick, this filmmaker in Oklahoma, Mickey Reese, he turns out basically like a movie a year. And he made this one, Alien. And it's basically about Elvis's life. But at one point, it turns out that it's like this, the quote is a metaphysical experimental film. And at one point, an Elvis tells another Elvis during their conversation in a bathtub that nothing is real except for basketball. And the point is that he creates these movies that start one way and then literally just take like left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn. And you have no idea where it's going to end up. So that's what this reminded me of. And I have no idea how we would get there, where it would go, but I was into it. So... yeah, I definitely would have chosen, I would have liked to do Danny's, but hey, I'm not upset about this, so.
I should have just voted for mine.
But oh, you didn't. God.
Yeah, no, I'm not that much of a jerk. I mean, I already had it all beat out
anyway. I would have exited stage left.
Wow. All right.
Brutal.
So.
All right, so movie?
I see it as a movie. And Danny, if you haven't seen Good Boys, I'm trying to think, like, honestly, those...
Did it do well, though?
Yeah.
I thought it did poorly.
No, it did. It did well.
I did it well? Okay.
Yeah.
All
it was, like, number one.
Was, like, American Pie and The Graduate.
So think more American Pie, but think, like, 11 and...
Wet Hot American Summer?
Younger.
They're, like, 12 years old.
Think, yeah, literally 12-year-old kids. Think Stranger Things, but, like, a raunchy comedy. That's exactly what I should have said. Stranger Things, but a raunchy comedy.
Okay.
So,
like the kids are not going to understand what they're doing, but the adults will be laughing at it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. So,
like, imagine three 12-year-old boys going through puberty and not understanding what that means, but like guessing what to do.
Okay, so it's like Big Mouth.
Yes. Sure. Yes. Or like Big Mouth. Big Mouth, but they also have to save their parents from an alien invasion or AI. I'm not quite sure like which route I would go with, but basically their parents are overtaken by like Leave It to Beaver 50s-esque wholesome families, but they are anything but wholesome.
Gotcha. Okay, so typically their parents are more like American Pie parents and then they're replaced with. So what comes to mind for some reason automatically is like at some point the kid is probably going to find the mother's sex toys?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the alien thing, Do you guys know about ovipositors?
Do I want... Danny, the way you phrased this...
You don't want to know.
I don't
But I am going to say it.
Okay.
Thanks,
because
buddy.
They could originally think that this is like an alien thing and try to destroy it, and then it just turns out to be a kink thing. So an ovipositor is like a dildo with a hole in the middle to lay eggs into yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like that's alien, not as... it's supposed to be like alien eggs.
That's not as gross as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, so, Brian, act one, let's go.
Yeah, so my act one is basically we're on these kids and they're going through just the typical comedy preteen, dealing with parents, trying to sneak out dad's porno, trying to talk to each other about sex. And clearly, like, there's 12 and 13, none of them have had sex. Like, literally imagine the kids from Stranger Things. And none of them have had sex. I even imagine it as like three guys and a girl. And the girl is like just so weirded out by this conversation, but they're all in the same neighborhood. So she's part of this friend group anyways. And so she's just like, why is this all y'all talk about? And the kids are like, what else is there to talk about? Anyways, the thing is, the parents are just as raunchy as them. Like the parents are parents, right? And they're in their late 30s, early 40s. So we start out and it's basically just their lives. Then the kids find something and they find like a crashed spaceship or something like that. And they go and they open it and nothing seems to happen. They think, oh, that's weird. But then they go home and they notice that their parents are acting strangely. So it's either AI has taken their parents and replaced them with these wholesome versions of themselves, or it's like alien technology doing something to the parents' brains, making them very wholesome. But the idea is like everyone's a normal person. Everybody curses and talks about sex and does all this stuff, but the parents are replaced with this wholesome version. And that's what sets off the kids. They're like, my mom never makes dinner. She just orders Domino's five nights a week for us or something like that. And that's what one kid realizes is wrong with his parents.
Could it be like, there's been a new 5G released, but it's like 7G and it's brain control, but it only works on adults?
Sure. Yeah, there's something in there that controls just the parents, not the kids. That's like the first kicker that it's got to be.
Yeah, it censors the parents.
Yeah, but it also has to be something where the kids can destroy it. Because the end is like the plot line
is... internet?
The plot line is basically the kids have to save the day and save their parents. And it's basically just like your average kids movie with a raunchy kind of a twist to it.
So first off, can most of the kids be girls? Because I'm so tired of all of these.
Sure.
Like kids bike movies where it's like five guys and the token girl and like she's super chaste and doesn't curse or whatever and doesn't talk about sex. It's like girls are into the same stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I've never seen that, so that would be really fun. I think Andrew called it Kids on Bikes movies or something. Kids on Bike Stories. And that would be really fun. So yeah,
so Kids on Bike Stories, we'll do the opposite where we'll have like the four girls and the one guy.
That would be pretty good.
And he's either shy and has a crush on one of them, or he could be gay.
I knew it.
I didn't want to do the GBF just because if we're steering away from the cliches of it, then I think if there was a group of girls, they would have the GBF. And so let's have them the shy and
okay.
We could even have a preteen love triangle where like he likes one of the girls, but one of the other girls likes him. And that could be like kind of our tension
and
within
the group. And she
likes
the other girl.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. There's our tension within the group.
There we go. We found our group tension. We're bringing the heat, found some of the heat. So then the thing with the parents is like brain control. Yeah, I guess like how do kids save the day here? Because it's not like they can get on a plane unless they can.
Well, so my thought is if it's aliens then and it's like emitting something, then they have to destroy the star, like the ship that the alien life form or whatever landed on, and the parents are trying to impede them from doing so. So let's say this spaceship,
so like a serious version of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
serious in quotation marks.
Quote unquote.
Serious in quotation marks. Yeah. So if we went AI, then the kids have to rescue the parents from, just like Stranger Things, there's like a laboratory where weird stuff goes on and the parents are kept there and slowly replaced with their clones that are more wholesome by this like rogue AI. And so the kids have to go to the big facility and destroy the AI. Or if we go aliens, then the spaceship crashes somewhere outside on the outskirts of town. The kids have to destroy the ship, but in doing so, they have to fight their parents basically to get to the ship. I kind of like that better because then they can literally just blow up the ship. We don't have to explain crazy company and rogue AI. And it allows us to bring in these parents and have them like fight the kids. And I think that would be funny.
Yeah. So I say we have the ship lands and almost like Truman Show, you see at the start of the movie, like this invisible sheen, like go over the town.
Yeah, that's
so cool. That's like the bubble. And they realize, you know, either they realize when their parents leave the bubble, they're different, or they can't leave the bubble.
Yeah, I think we have a day or two with like normal life. And we think it's just maybe a raunchy comedy with these preteen girls just growing up, you know, and right. Then they go to bed one night and they wake up and the next day their parents are like making them a full breakfast and helping them with homework, or even one of them shows up to their soccer game or something like that after school. And they're like, why didn't you work late? And it's like, I would never miss one of your games. And they've never been to one before.
So I have two things. One, you could definitely have one of the kids be like Susie and the mother starts calling her Suzette and like wanting her to call her mother. Secondly, what are the aliens trying to get? Because I feel like this censorship is more believable if it is an unintended consequence of them trying to imitate humanity and they're trying to get something bigger.
Yeah, it could be that so my only problem with this is it would go into a lot of backstory, but you could see a scenario where what they were beamed about Earth came from like 1950s TV. And so whenever they get to Earth, they realize it's totally different. And so they're trying
TV Land?
Or the delay is so, I mean, you know, that thing about stars is when you look up 27 light right. years is 27 years for it to reach you. It could be that it's like they're 50 light years away. And so it took 50 years for that signal to reach them. So that's all they know about Earth is Leave It to Beaver and All right. in the Family and stuff like that.
The standard opening would be like the kids in school learning how far away things are.
Yeah.
And that's the opening. And then the kid is like, oh yeah, that would be, you know, my dad was barely born in that time. Make a funny joke about how they weren't allowed to have sex on TV. And then they go home and then the next morning they wake up and it's this thing. And that's how they kind of figure it out. I mean, it would be like a Stranger Things, that making the radio to like intercept a la Stranger Things would be kind of funny. And even making the reference like, oh, like I think the school has like a radio, like maybe we should use it to intercept like they did in Stranger Things.
That would be funny because then that would play into that meta that like we acknowledge this is a kids on bike movie, but in just like the raunchiest way. So
And then they have an orgy like it.
I wasn't thinking that far. Raunchy. But yeah, I do want to play into the raunchiness. So I like the idea of them like looking for weapons and coming across like her mom's dildo collection or something like that. Or maybe they find like sex toys or something, BDSM, like whips and stuff like that.
Oh my God, the aliens should look like the creatures from frickin' Naked Lunch. Have you seen that movie?
No.
They have like things on their heads that they milk. It's very phallic and very disgusting.
Sure.
Interesting. So are we in act two yet? What's going on?
Yeah, act one is the kids are living their life and then all of a sudden shit goes haywire and they start piecing it together. Now, how much of the alien perspective are we getting?
I think a small amount in the first act.
Yeah, I don't really think they're characters. I think we're just...
Okay, that's fine then.
What you could do is in the very, very beginning setup, you could have the intercut between them at the
You could have the opening classroom. Scene kind of be the Leave It to Beaver show being watched by somebody.
Yeah, like you could have the opening scene being like them intercutting between, you know, you go from the classroom to people watching Leave It to Beaver and you think it's going to be the parents, but it's the aliens and they're flying through space. And then we fade out and then we go back.
I don't know if they had to show them. I don't know if they had to show the aliens themselves, but like showing like someone watching that show.
Yeah, I mean, I see it as more of a traditional Super 8 or Stranger Things type movie where they're like, we don't have to show the aliens as much, but we do need to be sure to establish how that they're receiving this communication. I think Act 2 is just a lot of them trying to figure out how to defeat these aliens. And then that's, like I said, they get their weapons, which are, you know, some of them are sex toys and maybe there's like older teenage kids who aren't
what
affected.
What if they like scheme to use one of the ovipositors to like
oh god
prove to the aliens that they're the same species and they're like going to try to like trick them into letting them into the spaceship. So they like tape dildos to their heads.
I was just kind of thinking that would be really funny as if they.
Yeah, they like find a bunch of sex toys and like tape dildos to their heads.
I think it would also be funny if we had like an older group of kids who were like maybe 15, 16. And obviously, I mean, they're older kids. And so they love that there are no parents or that the parents are messed up. And they're like, didn't you notice that all the parents are acting really weird? They're like, yeah, it's freaking awesome. And they're just like smoking pot and stuff and just hanging out being shitty teenagers. And then you could also have some fun conflict with like one of the girls really likes one of the guys because he's so edgy and everything. But then they actually aliens come and try and take him out. And then he's like a really big baby and he runs away. And she's like, this guy's a loser, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to remove your tattoos. No.
So, I mean, Act One is like the comedy with the parents and they're trying to trick it. And they're like, maybe even for a little bit, they are screwing with the parents.
Yeah.
Because it's funny to them.
Yeah.
So they do that and then they get tired of it. And then Act Two is them trying to defeat the aliens. So here's my thing. Did we decide what the aliens' bigger goal is? Maybe they're trying to like implant their technology into the humans or like take over their bodies.
I think it's like either this is going to be morbid, but I think it's either a sustenance thing. Like they need humans to eat, or it's like they see Earth as like a compatible planet for them, and so they're trying to use them as free labor. Basically, they take over their minds and are using them as free labor to make whatever they need to be able to function on this planet.
I think that's perfect, because then I think the midpoint of the movie is like, so first they start acting weird, but then they start acting really weird in that they're going to like till the farms and do all the stuff that they don't know how to do, but somehow all of a sudden know how to do. And they all disappear to like make this big building, right? So they all are gone to make this big building. And the kids are like, what is going on? And the big building is to cover the spaceship. And that's when they like scope it out. They see the aliens. They realize the aliens look like they have dicks on their face. Call back to when they found the mom's sex toys in the beginning. They get this great idea to strap dicks to their face and try to go in and save. But then, of course, the all is lost moment and the bad guys close in when they get caught. And
so I think one of them sacrifices themselves so that everyone else can escape. Then we have a moment where that one.
So wait, he doesn't die though, right?
No. Like, sorry. They stay behind. Yeah. They stay behind. And I imagine it's one of the girls. So she stays behind, lets everyone else leave, and then she comes back. And so you think, oh, she escaped. But obviously we know that they mind fucked her and now she's taken. So she's leading them basically into a trap. And okay. So then we need something to where when they get to the trap, she either shakes loose of it or the kids can get out of the trap that the aliens have set. And that's our big climax.
So two things. One, I think our love chain here is that the boy likes a girl who likes a girl who likes the older teenage boy who's really cute.
Okay.
So the person who's going to stay behind is the girl who likes the other girl, because she wants to impress her by being like cooler and more powerful than the kid who ran away.
Okay.
So then like you have the thing where like the younger boy wants to stay with her and she's like, no, I'm fine. Because she's trying to impress the girl who likes the older boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
So then I think we have to figure out, how do they maybe break someone loose for it, even for a little bit of time? Is it a thing where it's like they can't get wet? Is it a thing where it's like,
it's got to be raunchy.
A specific word.
I think it's got to end up being some sort of raunchy.
I was trying to think of like, what's a word that has a double entendre, or a word that like is no longer lewd, but used to be considered lewd? Or you could go really cliche and have it be a kiss. Oh, you know what you could maybe do? This is so dumb. You could do that the type of mind control that they put on the kid is the one that they've been practicing on little kids. And in the middle of her leading, or like right as they're leading her to the trap, she starts her period.
I like that.
But then she would be under the adult mind control. I think that has to be somewhere. Like,
that would be pretty funny.
One of the girls starts their period and then is like an adult now. But then I guess the teenagers would also have.
Yes, they would.
Yeah, then maybe not. It was just, maybe it's the sight of blood.
Oh, that would be really funny because they're so wholesome. They don't show blood.
Yeah.
And so the sight of blood would.
Like they pass out.
Yeah.
And reset.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Okay.
I think you got it.
I like that. So, and then, yeah, climaxes, they're at the building. The kid gets snapped out of it long enough to warn them that it's a trap. They decide to go to the building anyways to end this. And
also, like, long enough to know it's a trap, and also to, like, as the kid is probably fading back into whatever communal consciousness this is, can, like, tell them where the center of the thing is.
Yeah. Or, yeah, mention that it's the ship or something.
You could also have the ship be shaped like a vulva. And it's like, it's at the top. It's like at the little round part. And then they look up and it's like, the little boy is like, how am I ever supposed to find that?
Oh my God. I was never going to find that without her telling me.
or they make the, it's like a heist. Each one is going to need to take on a different thing. And of course the boy is like the smallest of them all. So it's like, you're going to be the one that needs to go flip the switch. And he's like, how am I ever supposed to find that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love that. Oh my God. That's so stupid. I love it. But yeah. So yeah. So then act three, they're all converging. The parents are there kind of trying to protect. And then obviously the teenage boys come back, or the teenagers group comes back and helps them as well. But by this point, she's already over him, but it doesn't matter. And so they all band together and defeat the aliens. And then I can also imagine, as like some of the parents are gaining their consciousness back, they're trying to fight the other parents, and they're like, always hated Sharon, and then like smacks her and stuff like that. So
yes, I also love that this would be a great moment, like after everything's turned off and one of the kids is with her mom, and the mom is like looking towards the spaceship and she's like, what the hell is a pussy doing in this town? And then like the kid turns around and there's like a cat running by, and she's sad because she thinks that her mom is talking about the cat.
I love that. And I also love the idea of like the most conservative parents at the beginning are the one with the giant, like that's the one where they all found the dildos to tape to their heads. And then at the end, they're like, mom, this worked. This is how we got in here. You're dicks. And then the mom is just like, so.
Just in front of everybody.
In front of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely like the lesbian girl's mom who's like very conservative.
Yeah, yeah. Kristen Bell for Justin. There's a throwback.
Hey, there we go. All right.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I think we got it.
Awesome.
And we'll be right back. Danny's going to go back in somewhere, go write the log line. When she comes back, she'll pitch it. We'll go around the room and choose if we will save the cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, we'll see you in a bit.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks and enjoy.
And we're back. Danny has a log line for us. She's going to read it, and then we're going to go around the room, starting with Danny, finishing with Brian, and we're going to see if we're going to save the cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, take it away.
The Good Town, take two. When a group of aliens use mind control to brainwash parents in a small town and practically turn them into Puritans, five kids on bikes must figure out how to save the fucking day.
That's a great pitch.
Nice.
Danny.
I dig that.
All right. I think I save it. Clearly, taping dicks on heads sounds like a good time to me. So I save it.
I'm going to scratch it. Anytime I'm going to fall asleep during a pitch, I'm going to go off and say it's probably not for this guy.
Justin just doesn't understand the pure joy of strapping a dildo to your head.
This is correct. One of the reasons I don't save it is because, you know, it's not as relatable to me. Like, story about a bunch of young girls. Like, I
never strapped a dildo to his head.
Correct. So I can't relate as much, and I definitely couldn't write it. So it's one of those things just not as relatable to me, but I think it's definitely something maybe could sell. It's just not in my range of market. So, not for me.
I definitely save it. I'm going to throw that out there. But Justin, I also feel like, you know, I feel like this show, you're trying to, if all you're wanting to do is like rom-coms and horror movies, because that's what sells, like you're selling yourself short. Because if you don't think that this would sell and you could pitch this, like I think this is exactly one of those Super 8 Stranger Things mixed with Good Boys. That is a pitch right there to me. I don't know.
Yes, but tell me how many of these movies are happening.
Yeah, but how many
in the past 10 years?
How many have tried?
But that's the point. It's niche.
Yeah, it's never been done. So what's to say that it wouldn't? Literally the closest
Correct.
Thing is Super 8, and they had one character who was a little raunchier, and he was everyone's favorite character.
Correct. That's usually what you do. You have one raunchy character. That's the throw-up that works. Like, I didn't think Good Boys did that well. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that good of a movie.
Good Boys made $111 million in the box office.
Yeah, so successful. But that's one time.
But again, that was the first time it had been tried.
It's the same thing. Like, tell me this. Okay, and this is nothing against, like, females or whatever. Tell me how well Booksmart did compared to Superbad. Because it was supposed to be the female version of Superbad. It did not do well. It's a great movie. Did not do well, though.
I also think it
sounds like a problem with society.
I'm not denying that, Danny. I'm just saying, like, as a business person, like, I'm not that into it. That's my first bias. And then I don't see those movies selling as well. It's a niche market for sure, but that's a hard sell.
I think my thing is, if you're coming in, so I'm trying to save things based off of, can I see it on screen? And I think this is something that I can see on screen because of the success of Stranger Things and the resurgence of Kids on Bikes movies. This would be one, that female-led twist on it. Two, it would be combining two successful genres, Kids on Bikes and that raunchier kind of genre.
Yeah, but I don't think combining two genres always makes the best film.
Fair.
I think Stranger Things is amazing because of what it is.
Okay. All right, let's get into what you're watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will start because I think this is going to be another hot take for a different co-host.
Ooh.
I watched the first season and a few episodes of season two of Bonding on Netflix. And I know Danny has very strong opinions about this show and its portrayal of the BDSM community. Here are my thoughts. I do not know about the BDSM community. I do not have much exposure to the BDSM community. I think the way that they handle the BDSM aspects of the job and the show are very played up for comedy. And even as a viewer that knows nothing about that, I knew to take it with a grain of salt. And it was not something that I was like looking forward to within the show. I really just cared about the relationship between the two main characters, which was very strong, but I did feel, I don't think I the show is just so weird overall. Like the first episode, it throws you into the middle of this and you're supposed to like understand that these two have this big history, but it never goes into that. And then when it finally does, it just doesn't land. So I like their relationship as like coworkers, but I'm not buying anything else. So,
yeah. So how long are the episodes? Aren't they like,
oh my God, they're like 15 minutes.
Yeah. So that's my thing about the show. It's not, it's fine when it comes to representing the BDSM. I mean, like whatever. It's not at all representing the lifestyle community. It's representing like sex work.
Hmm.
But the whole format and structure and everything of the show was weird to me. I was like, if they'd maybe spent another 15 minutes per episode and made it a full half hour, okay, maybe you could have actually juiced this and it would have been better.
Yeah.
But it just felt like a string of jokes, like trying to be really punched up and funny, mm-hmm. but with no sustenance.
It felt very forced in so many aspects.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense because whenever the show gets time to breathe, like there's this really great moment where they meet this girl that I guess they knew from high school or something at a bar and she is just hammered. And then they help her at home. And like that scene is like the best scene of the show to me so far because it allowed the scene to kind of breathe and have personality. But yeah, you're right.
It's good. Like that scene is good, but it comes completely out of left field. Like that could have been in a completely different TV show.
You're right.
And that's the thing to me. It's like there's not a lot of consistency to it. Plus like there are some elements, like a friend of mine, the first time I asked a friend of mine who is in the BDSM community, I was like, you know, what do you think of the show? And she was like, well, one, she's wearing an ill-fitting corset and a collar and she's supposed to be a pro dom. She's wearing a submissive collar and her corset doesn't fit and I'm supposed to buy that.
Now I will say in season two, they shit on her for the collar.
Okay. So I haven't seen season two yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Season two, she basically has to like retrain on this because,
well, I mean, I bet that's probably because they got so much backlash.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I'd be curious if they adjusted that. I thought your complaints were more on the depiction of the BDSM, which I didn't mind because it was so over the top. Like it was very clear that they're just portraying it in such a crazy manner. But
it's very the show, cliche.
Yeah.
People who pay for services.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't like is that it makes fun of people's kinks, not actually finding the funny stuff within them. Like, haha, man in an apron cleaning the apartment. But like, what happens when he runs out of Lysol and doesn't have his clothes and needs to get Lysol somehow?
Yeah. Nope. Yep. That's very, very fair. And we could get into a whole conversation about interpretation and representation and portrayal in media. But we'll save that for another rant.
Yeah, another day.
Yeah.
Well, on my end, I have been watching Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. I watched the first episode of it. And oh my God, do you guys remember this case?
No.
Oh my God, it's the woman in the elevator. So, yeah, see, when I say that, you know, it's like the 2-minute or 4-minute video of her going in and out of the elevator that won't go up. They don't know who she's talking to off camera. Then it turns out she disappears and ends up, they find her body in the water tower on the roof.
Okay.
I think. And so, yeah, it's like talking about the history of the hotel. And what is so chilling is just at the end of the first episode, they play that 4-minute clip in its entirety, and you're just like when it was first released, you're like, what the fuck. It's really, really juicy.
Interesting.
So, it's on Netflix. Recommend it.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah, I saw the trailer for it.
Justin, what are you watching?
I recently watched the movie Love and Monsters. It just came out.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was all right. I'd say it's pretty lame, but it was a fine in the background kind of movie. I like the guy Dylan or whatever his name is.
See, I like Michael Rooker and Jessica Henwick.
Oh, that's the girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, is she? I just know her from Iron Fist.
Michael Rooker is like barely in it, though.
Oh, that's sad.
But it's about like a apocalypse. Like, I guess a bunch of the animals, insects kind of like grow and become like abnormally large and start killing humans.
Yeah.
And then his long lost high school girlfriend, he like is a giant wuss and decides like, I'm going to do this and travel like a week journey to go find her, and finds out he's semi-brave. It's like your typical trope, but like in a weird environment, and it just becomes like, oh, cool.
I like how you said semi-brave. Like, he's supposed to have this like huge moment. And you're like, yeah, he's still only semi-brave.
Well, he had it was like a comedic moment too. It was like, there was a bunch of times where like, oh, for sure it's going to happen. It was like, nope. Then it finally happens. You're just like, oh, that was kind of like dorky.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I saw that on, was available for rent now, and I thought about renting it, but ultimately didn't.
I wouldn't suggest it. It's not a bad watch, but it's not like, it definitely wasn't worth like however much I paid for it. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
All right. Awesome. So we have two saves and a scratch for The Good Town, take two. We have Danny's long, I can't even remember the name of that.
It's the Cecil Hotel movie on Netflix. That's all you need to know.
The Cecil Hotel movie on Netflix, Love and Monsters, and then Bonding.
We really recommend 2 out of 3.
I think we recommend 1 out of 3, which is Danny's. You okay. And I are both like, meh, it was.
I couldn't tell if you were recommending Bonding or you were just like, I'm just going to finish it to finish
it. I still think I'm trying to figure that out on my own. I definitely, like, there's a 3 or 4 moments where I'm like, this can be really good. And then everything else is like, oh my God. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Awesome. Well, 35 episodes in, 2 good towns saved. And yeah, still chugging along. So thank you all so much for listening in to this episode of Can We Save the Cat? As always, you can find me at Bredacted on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find the podcast at Can We Save Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Hit us up. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, do all those fun things for the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for showing us some love.
You can find me at @OfficialDannyHanks on Instagram and at @Danny_Hanks on Twitter. Tweet at me.
You can find me at Justin Eugene on all platforms. Please like and subscribe, and feel free to comment on all of Danny's Twitter posts.
Absolutely.
She's a big Twitter person. Lots of polls, lots of interesting information. She's giving out daily.
Trying to tweet a lot more these days, guys. Help me out here.
Danny is going to post so much, you're going to be like, is this Trump? I don't understand. Like, I don't know. But it's going to be good content. I mean, that was good content.
I was going to say.
Dear God.
Her content will be just as good, if not better.
Damn, that's like big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Man.
Oof.
Not big gloves.
Little baby hands. All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank
y'all. Come back now.
Thank you so much, y'all.
Y'all.